In the following, we will hear two presentations of the Department of Material Science by Nuclear Methods. Both speakers were postdoc at the ESRF. The first will be Daniel Merkel, and who is the leader of the Functional Nanostructure Research Group. And the title of the lecture, Advances in the Investigation of Iron Rhodium Films.
Thank you very much. Why is it important to study thin films? I borrowed this figure from this paper where it shows the possible application of thin films. You can see that from fuel cells to batteries, tissue engineering, from controllers to optical equipment, there are hardly any area where thin film doesn't play important roles. Among the endless possibilities, we chose iron rhodium because it's a very interesting material. According to the equilibrium phase diagram, it exhibits BCC structures with antiferromagnetic or ferromagnetic magnetic ordering close to equiatomic composition. Depending whether we have a little bit more iron or a little bit rhodium in the system, it determines whether it will be antiferromagnetic or ferromagnetic. It's also possible to create a knock equilibrium phase, which are disordered phase and that cubic phase, and it has paramagnetic ordering. This material has one of the known magnetocholic effect, and also this material is a perfect candidate to be a ferromagnetic layer for a composite multiferroic material. Several scientists all around the world work to implement this material into novel applications, such as hazardous gas-free effective cooling, energy storage systems, or even energy production system, or to create energy efficient devices. In the past few years, I show you our studies on this system. Several of these novel applications, which I showed you earlier in the previous slide, may require nanostructures, moreover magnetic nanostructures, and that was the motivation our first topic, creating magnetic pattern in this system. We also determined the ion self-diffusion in iron rhodium, where we determined the diffusion coefficient and also the activation energy of iron moving in this iron rhodium. We also built an artificial multiferroic system, and we studied the electric field effect, the magnetic field effect, the temperature effect, and the synergy, so all together effect of this system. Since my time is limited, therefore I will only talk about creating magnetic pattern in iron rhodium. So we built a 100 nanometer thick iron rhodium thin film. We used iron 57 isotope in order to make measurements later, but in principle it's an iron rhodium thin film. We use molecular beam epitaxy, which is can be found in Wigner, and we characterized our sample with transmission electron microscopy, Rutherford backscattering, neutron reflectometry, just to make sure that our sample is in very, very good quality. When our sample was done, we made Mesbos spectroscopy measurement. For those who are not familiar with this technique, what you need to know only that if you see one peak, it means our system has paramagnetic ordering. If you see six peak, it has ferromagnetic ordering. You don't need to know any more. So we prepared our sample, we made a Mesbos measurement, and we found that is paramagnetic. I told you at the beginning, it's not an equilibrium phase of this sample. So therefore, we thought if we anneal it at 300 Celsius for 1 hour, we should get back the equilibrium phase, which is a ferromagnetic DCC state. And yeah, we did it. And then we thought maybe it's possible to turn back to this metastable phase, to this paramagnetic phase. And therefore, we irradiated our sample. The energy and the ion of the irradiation was chosen. So the neon ion should go through the film and stop in the substrate. So we chose 120 kilo electron volt neon ions for this irradiation and measured again Mills-Bohr spectroscopy, and we got back again this paramagnetic state. And just to close the circle, we re-annealed the sample again and we got back the ferromagnetic ordering. So in principle, what we did, what we found that the iron rhodium can be changed between ferromagnetic and paramagnetic states by using ion irradiation or annealing. So we thought if it's by using this effect, we thought if we would put an irradiant mask on a fully ferromagnetic thin film, then this irradiation mask would prevent the and irradiate the sample with neon. Then this irradiation mask would prevent the neon to reach the surface. So under the mask, the magnetic structure would remain intact. And between the spheres or between the mask, the neon ion could reach the surface, penetrate into the iron rhodium film, and turn the ferromagnetic ordering to paramagnetic ordering. And we expected to have some magnetic structure. So we covered our film using Langmuir Blochet technique with either 1000 nanometer polystyrene spheres or 500 nanometer polystyrene spheres. So we made a film of spheres on the top of our layer and irradiated the sample. And here you can see the magnetic force microscope image of the irradiated sample. Here and the unirradiated sample, you see some magnetic structures. And when we used an irradiation mask with different mask types, you know, 500 nanometer silica mask or 1000 nanometer polystyrene mask with different ion fluences, you see that the magnetic pattern appeared. The dark spots are ferromagnetic, and this light yellow is the paramagnetic. So we made ferromagnetic domains in a paramagnetic matrix. Of course, the structure is not perfect because our covering layer was not perfect, but we could still demonstrate this effect. Now we wanted to see how this magnetic domain looks in depth. What is that, this domain, the shape of these domains? So therefore, we went to the synchrotron, to ESRF, ID18, to Sasha Chumakov, and we made grazing incidence nuclear resonance scattering experiment. Of course, I have no time to go to details of to explain you this technique, just very shortly. We have a synchrotron beam coming at grazing incidence on our sample surface. This synchrotron beam is monochromatized, so we excite the nuclear transition level of iron-57 nucleus at the same time. So we excite all these levels at the same time. They decay with time, they interfere, and with time we detect these delay photons, which due to interference has a beating in time. So what we did, we detected the specularly reflected delayed photons from which we could determine the hyperfine parameters of the iron rhodium thin films. Hyperfine parameters like the hyperfine magnetic field, which from which we can determine the magnetic ordering in the film. We chose three different grazing angles from the incoming synchrotron beam. You can see in the reflected curve, I marked these three angles, one below the critical angle, one at the critical angle, and one above the critical angle. This way we can tune the penetration depth of the synchrotron beam. So therefore we could reconstruct the magnetic structure in depth of the film. And by using this data, we found that these magnetic domains in the pattern are not cylindric, what we first expected, but it has some, I don't know, ice cream form or some strange form. So at the depth, this magnetic region contracts, gets lower, smaller. But of course, we also wanted to know why this shape. So we made Monte Carlo simulations to determine the displacements of neon ions in the mask or in the film, so in our system. So we made four different cases. One, when the incoming neon ion goes in the center of the mask, you can see that all the displacement effect occurred in the mask. In other words, the mask absorbed all incoming neon ions, so couldn't reach the film. But what if this incoming neon ion didn't hit off center of the mask, not come in the very center? Then you can see here is the mask. The neon ion lost its most of its energy, but passing the vacuum, some of the neon could reach the very surface of the iron rhodium and responsible for change of the contraction of this magnetic domain very close to the surface. And what happens if the neon ion doesn't hit the C case, the mask at all? The irradiating ion doesn't go straight in the film. It has some lateral straggling, some lateral movement in the film. Therefore, it can cause this ferromagnetic to paramagnetic transition under the sphere. So this is one of the reasons of this construction towards the substrate. And last, in case D, the neon ion hits the very, very, very edge of the mask. This is not the displacement of the ion, but is the real neon trajectory. Here in the very left is the mask, then comes the vacuum. It's like here, see, the mask, then the vacuum, and then the film. Opa. From the trajectory, you can see that from this interaction, this very small interaction with the mask, the neon ion changes its direction, so it doesn't come perpendicularly to the film, but with some angle, and therefore it is also possible to cause this FMPM transition under the mask. These are the four main effects why we got this shape. So at the very beginning, I showed you that we can turn from ferromagnetic state to paramagnetic state by using ion irradiation. But I also showed you with annealing, we can turn paramagnetic to ferromagnetic states. And we were thinking how to use this also to create magnetic pattern. It was obvious we have to heat locally the sample. And for this, we used laser beam irradiation. And we took our sample to Tamás Váci and made four experiments starting from 200 millielectron volt, 160 and 20 milliwatt laser irradiation. And here you can see the before and after microscope image of the sample. At high energies, you can see this dark spot, the laser ablated our sample. It was, so in other words, our film evaporated from the substrate, which is not good. This is not what we wanted to do. We only wanted to create magnetic structures. Of course, this effect can also be used to create structures, but with this you damage the film. We didn't want to damage the film. So we had this last one, this 20 milliwatt laser power, when the microscope image were identical before and after laser treatment. And we took this sample and we measured magnetic force microscopy first on the non-treated sample. You see that there is no magnetic structure at all on our film because it was paramagnetic originally. The irradiated sample we measured with atomic force microscopy just to make sure that our surface was not damaged by the laser irradiation. And then we measured also magnetic force microscopy on the irradiated sample. And we were very happy we found this raster pattern on the sample, exactly the same pattern what we made with laser. We programmed this laser to irradiate, move a little bit, irradiate, move a little bit to make this grid. And we got it exactly back. Here you can see the phase shift of at the selected point. The phase is the phase of the MFM tip, which is proportional to the magnetic moment. So you can see it fitted with 3D Gaussian. We made this magnetic pattern. The big advantage of this technique that you don't have to make this pattern. You can make any custom magnetic object in your film, which can be very advantageous for applications. And with this, I would like to summarize my talk. So we showed you that the ferromagnetic and that it's possible to change the magnetic state of the sample between ferromagnetic and paramagnetic ordering by using annealing or iron irradiation. And these both effects we used for creating magnetic pattern, either by mass iron irradiation or by laser irradiation. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We have some time for questions. If not, I would like to thanks again for your talk.